And Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is a day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for your many blessings, and we thank you right now, Lord God, for ever-increasing Word Training Center, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., Lord God. We thank you for each instructor, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for what you're doing by your Spirit. And that, Lord God, even in the midst of a pandemic, Lord God, you are showing yourself strong on our behalf, Lord God. And that, Lord God, this is the hour that your church, your kingdom is rising up and taking its rightful place as kings and priests, Lord God, and ambassadors for you. And I just thank you, Lord, as always. I just trust that the Holy Spirit will show up in my class session, because if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, as I always state, I'm going to fall flat on my face. So I'm leaning completely and totally on the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, class. Let's continue on our class session that we started last week on how to reap, or how to sow honor seeds and reap honor rewards through sowing seeds of honor. How to reap honor rewards. And by doing that, you do it by sowing seeds of honor. And one of the first ways, it was seven, I'm going to give you the seven steps of reaping the rewards of honor. The first step, and we talked about it last week, is that you have to be called. And we said that a calling is a calling of God upon your life to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God for your life. The second is you need to be commissioned. And we're going to get into the commissioning part today, and that's going to take up pretty much the whole class session. Then later on, probably next week, we're going to be talking about you must be competent. In order to be a successful minister and also to reap honor rewards, you have to be competent. There's got to be competence in there. And there's got to be a time where you're sitting, listening, and learning so that you can be competent and that you can qualify to fulfill God's will for your life. And then there also must be a certain code of conduct. So your conduct has to be right. Moral behavior and a conduct that's becoming of a child of God. Amen? And there's got to be some continuity, a continuum. It's not something that you stop and start, but it's a continuity. By continuing on, pressing towards the mark of the prize of the higher calling in Christ Jesus, will you continue that process? Amen? And then you have to have confidence. Confidence that he who had begun a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Christ. So there's got to be confidence. You got to be confident in your call and in what God has blessed you with. And lastly, which is number seven, there's got to be control. You know, you have to always recognize that, number one, God is in control. And when you're ministering and when you're walking in your God-given assignment and vocation, always know that God is in control, and you submit to God. And when you submit to God and God is in control, you can't help but be successful. All right, with all that being said, we're going to begin to talk now more in the area or the line of being commissioned. But what I want to first finish up one of the last areas I was talking about last week. We were talking about Isaiah and how Ezekiel. Elijah and Elijah. And we mentioned that how Elijah followed Elijah and stuck with his man of God throughout the whole course, 20 years of sitting under him. When you're called and then you walk into the area of being commissioned, you must submit to whom God's called you to and stay connected to your man of God. I want to read something here. It says, to reap the rewards of honor, you must stay connected or stay closely connected to your man of God. All right? Never disconnect. Don't do like the sons of the prophets and who followed from a distance. We talked about that. We talked about how Elijah stayed close to Elijah, but there was also sons of the prophet who they they followed, but they were from a distance. They were what you might call secret disciples. And they didn't receive anything. We know from Scripture that Elisha received a double portion. He received a double portion of Elisha's anointing because of his connection. And so that's so very important. It says here that, and Elisha said unto Elijah. Now, these were times when Elisha was going off for ministry that God had called him to. But he was testing Elijah to see how close he was going to stick to him. He said here, and Elijah said to Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel, or to a supernatural money come to you conference. Just giving you an example. Then he goes on to say, and Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. In other words, I'm not going to leave thee. Now, this is coming from 2 Kings chapter 2, around verse 4 now. And then the Lord said, then Elijah said, as my soul liveth, and I said, I will not leave thee. Wherever you go. Elijah said, I'm going to Jericho. He says, you know, if you go to Jericho, I'm going to Jericho with you. And verse 6 says, and Elijah said unto him, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan to do, a health seminar. You know, Apostle does health seminars. And he might, you know, right now we're doing virtual, but when we get over this pandemic, he's going to be back on the road. It's so very important. I'll never forget something Apostle shared with me years ago. I was at a Kenneth Hagin meeting, and this was during the time frame when he was following Kenneth Hagin really close. And at that meeting, I was looking at the book table in the front of the church, and a hand touched my back. And for some, you know, I guess being a member and being close to Apostle, I'm familiar with that touch. I'm very sensitive to the anointing that's on his life. And when he touched my back, it almost tingled. I looked, and I knew instantly it was Apostle. He looked at me and he said, Greg, I see you're here for the meeting. I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, this is how you get an anointing. You get under the environment. I go to where that anointing is being preached or teach, and you sit and you listen and you learn. I'll never forget that. I've watched him do it, and following him as he followed his spiritual father, I followed my spiritual father. And by doing that, you connect properly so the flow of anointing can come down the way it's supposed to. And that's a tremendous blessing. But I'll never forget that. But anyway, let me move on here. And then, you know, we're looking at 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And Elijah said unto him, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off, secret disciples, as I call them. And they too went to Jordan. Elijah and Elijah went to Jordan. Okay. Elijah was honored because he served faithfully his man of God. Elijah was honored because he faithfully served his man of God, and he did so, and because of that, as you know, he received a double portion. That is so very important that we understand that, you know, because it came a time when Elisha was about to be taken from Elisha, and he asked him, he said, I'm gonna be taken away from you today. What would you have me to do? What request or what would you have me to do for you? And he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elisha says, son, you ask a hard question, but if you see me when I'm taken up, it shall be so. If not, it won't be so. In other words, what he was telling Elisha, I want you to stick close. Stay close. When you stick close to your man of God and follow his teaching, follow the anointing that's on his life, you can't help but walk in a high degree of honor, because God will honor you because you honored your man of God. There were times, and we talked about this last week, where they were looking for somebody who had some insight. And somebody says, I know a man who washed or you know, Elisha's hand, who poured water on Elisha's hands. You know, Elisha, you know, if he was that close to him, he must know something. Because of the connection, because of the transfer of their anointing, because of the faithfulness, because of the serving, there's going to be a transfer. And that's what we want. And that's why we're here in the School of Ministry, is to get the impartation and get the transfer so that we can go out and be proper ambassadors for Christ. Amen. All right. We're going to move on, and we're going to talk about the second area now, which is commissioned. And I want to give you some definitions of what commission is. Okay, commission is the act of granting or delegating certain powers of authority, privileges, or grants of authority to carry out a particular task or duty or position in ministry, usually done by the laying on of hands. I'm going to read that one more time. Commissioned, the act of granting or delegating certain powers of authority, privileges, and grants of authority to carry out a particular task, duty, position, or assignment in ministry, usually done by the laying on of hands. Also, too, commission, the authority so granted by one is delegated authority, an apostle or a prophet, or somebody under apostolic government, commissioning someone into ministry. The matter or task of authorization. When something is commissioned, it's being authorized. It's being properly authorized. There's what is known as the proper order of the kingdom of God. There's certain things that has to be done in divine order. When Jesus was going to be baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, when John saw him coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And he said, "Lord, you are to be baptized in me instead of me baptizing you." But Jesus said, "Suffer be so, so that all righteousness could be fulfilled." Jesus knew that he had to go through the proper channels. They had to be and you see, all of this was done so that down the years, down the line, we can see how ministry should be established, how the kingdom of God should be established, from one person followed down to someone else by the proper spiritual alignment you know, doing the right thing, sitting properly, being commissioned, being sent out. All of those things makes a tremendous difference. Amen. Let me give you some more definitions of commission. The inauguration of a president, or the transfer of power, where the president, happened a couple of weeks ago, takes an oath where he's been commissioned. Right after he makes that inaugural address, and when they go back into the either the White House or the Capitol, one of the Secret Service men comes up to him, has a briefcase with all kind of classified information, because now he has the power to make decisions that can alter the world. And if he needs to declare war or do whatever he needs to do, it's right there at his disposal. Let me move on. Commission, to grant authority for something or something to be done, placed in order. There is a proper order in the kingdom of God that must be followed and submitted to, and also obeyed. That's so very important. To authorize or engage someone to do something, commission an architect to design a building. Another good illustration is when a ship is launched out. You commission it. They take a wine bottle and they hit that ship, and that ship is sent out. There's never a time that I know of that where a major vessel, like an aircraft carrier or destroyer, once it's built, before they send it out to sea, is always commissioned. You know, you have what you call commissioned officers in the Air Force and the Marine Corps, you know, the National Guard, Army and Navy. That means that they are properly commissioned and given the proper delegated authority to carry out their assignment. And that's so very important. Let me give you some examples in the Bible where Jesus commissioned people. Jesus appointed 70. This is an example of the disciples being commissioned into ministry for service. In Luke chapter 10, verses 1, it says, "And after these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, and sent them two by two before every face into every city and place, whether he himself would go. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." So because they were properly commissioned and sent out by Jesus, the same power that operated through Jesus operated through them, because they were called. Jesus called the 70, and then he commissioned them, and then he sent them out. And so they were operating under his delegated authority. So his power was transferred from him to them. So when they went to people who were sick and laid hands on the sick were healed. The demon spirits were cast out of people who were demonically oppressed. Why? Because they were properly commissioned to do so. Give you an example of improper commissioning or no commissioning. The sons of Sceva, they, matter of fact, let me see if I can find that right quick. That's in Acts chapter 19. Let me look that up in the Bible, because I want to read it and give you a good, give me a second here. Okay, Acts chapter 19, and we're going to be looking at and verse 13. It says, Acts chapter 19, verse 13, it says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews' exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the names of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did also. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And then it goes on to say that after the evil spirit says, no, I know Paul, I know Jesus, but who are you? And the men in whom the evil spirit was leaped out on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. In other words, they didn't have the power. You know, they saw it being done. They didn't sit under nobody. They weren't properly called, weren't properly commissioned. They just seen it done, thinking that, hey, I can do this too. No. That's a classic example of somebody that didn't get properly called and definitely didn't get commissioned to go out to do the work of the Lord. Jesus told his disciples, he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said, don't go out and witness to nobody. He said, but stay in the upper room in Acts chapter 2 until you be endued with power from on high. There's a lot to be said about that. You know, it's the proper order of the kingdom. It's how apostolic government flows from the top down, and it flows through delegated authority and a proper calling and a proper commission, all of that. And you see, when it's done properly, then you're able to bring honor to your man of God, honor to God, and you're also honored because of staying in proper alignment. I can't stress that enough, but that's the way it should be done. And one of the the key elements of this school is to make sure that those who are sent out by their pastors, their apostles, or their prophets, or somebody in delegated authority, so that they can do the work that God called them to do. I just thought about another verse of scripture, and I should have stayed in Acts, if I can find it right quick. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets, teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, and was called Niger, and Lucius, and Cyrene, and Malin, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Okay, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now here, the Holy Spirit is saying, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Proper calling and proper commissioning and being sent out. And then verse 4 says, and they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed, and went out to Caesarea and other places doing the work of the Lord. And they were very productive. Paul was very productive. Paul went out and established churches, saw people saved, set free, evil spirits cast out of people. Why? Because of the proper commissioning. You know, all through the Bible, why is it a young, gifted, you know, anointed man feels like he can just step out on his own and God's going to bless his work, when nowhere in the Bible was there any record, to my knowledge, where somebody just went? They are records where people went out on their own. We read about the seven sons of Sceneb, but the consequences was catastrophic on their behalf, because instead of them casting out devils, the devils end up, you know, beating them up, you know. So you don't want that. And that's what this school is all about. That's what Ever Increasing Word Training Center, LTMA, Leroy Thompson Ministerial Association is all about, is lighting the torches of ministers around the world. So that number one, you have a headquarters, you have you're under apostolic order. And what all of that does, I got to keep it in the framework of honor. That's how honor is produced. That's how honor, you bring honor to yourself when you do something properly, when you go about it the right way. I can't say enough about that. Let me move on. You will reap a harvest of honor when you are commissioned properly. When you are commissioned, you are properly ordered. Listen to this. This is important. When you are commissioned, you are properly ordered or granted authority and sent out, authorized by God or God's delegated governmental authority to do the work wherein you are called. This is the proper order of the kingdom of God being sent out properly. I want to read that one more time because I want to make sure you get it. When you are commissioned, you are properly ordered and granted authority and sent out, authorized by God or God's delegated governmental authority to do the work wherein you are called. This is the proper order of the kingdom of God being sent out properly, a proper protocol. I've stated this before, but I'll never go out to minister anywhere if I'm invited. I first get my man of God's blessing. I'll get word through one of the ministers on staff and let them know that I've been invited to a particular engagement, and I just want to get apostles' blessing. There's been times, I stated before, where I never got a word back. But already in my spirit, it was confirmed that you don't even need to be there. You know, they're not going to receive what you have to say anyway. You know, but there were times where I got his blessing. And when I go out knowing that I got spiritual backing behind me. That's important. That's very important. And whenever I go out, one of the first things I will always say is, you know, I'm a member of Word of Life Christian Center. I'm under the pastorate of Dr. Leroy Thompson Sr., Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. You know, I recognize my head. I always recognize the spiritual authority, giving honor to whom honor is due. And by doing so, I know that God's blessing comes upon my life. God's anointing comes on my life. And I'm able to carry out the assignment, not in the natural, but in the spirit. Because sometimes you go places and it'll be dry. But when you go with the anointing and with the blessing, you can't help but be effective. You can't help but. One of the things, and it's stated in the book of Luke. I can see I'm not going to get too far, but because scriptures are coming up. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, this is something Jesus did and something the Lord, back when I was in my early 20s, put upon my heart strongly to do. And I've heard other ministers confirm that it's so very important to acknowledge. Give me a second here. Luke 4:18. Okay. This is Jesus. I'm going to start at verse 16. Now, prior to that, Jesus was tempted of the devil. And it says in verse 14, Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the regions about. And he taught in their synagogues and glorified and was glorified of all. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as the custom was, he went into the synagogue and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. It didn't just fall upon it. He found the place where it was written. Now, this is Jesus acknowledging his ministry, acknowledging that he was sent by God. It's so important that when people need to know that once you're properly called and commissioned, because John the Baptist at this time had already laid, baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. So the order had already been carried out. So now Jesus is acknowledging what the scripture had already said about him. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind. And to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Once you're commissioned, it's making an acknowledgement now, proclaiming, what God has sent you to do, and that you are anointed of God. That's so very important. Amen. So let's move on, because what takes place here, and this brings honor to God. It brings honor to God. What is taking place here is synonymous to what was in 1 Timothy 4:14. Which says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Let me just continue to read. For this, now this is something in Titus 1:5. It says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, are lacking, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee, in other words, to keep things in divine order. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order. In other words, I've ordained you, Titus. I've left you there to set in order the things that are wanting, are lacking. You know, but because you were properly are commissioned, you know, he says, and ordain elders in every city. So there's a, that ordination process is run a cousin to the commissioning, because you are, you know, you're ordained and hands are laid upon you. So there's a transfer of anointing that takes place, you know, so that things can be set in order. Because one of the things I've learned to do is to do what I see my apostle do, is to follow in the same vein and the same avenue, you know, that he's flowing in. Because my anointing, my gift, everything that's in me is because of who he is, and me following properly. You know, Elijah did a lot of miracles, but Elijah did twice as many miracles as Elisha did, because he had a double portion. And that's noted in scripture. And that's so very important that we understand that. Paul is talking about setting in order the things that are wanting or lacking. God's kingdom must be set in divine order for it to function properly. The government of God must be set up properly. If the government of God's kingdom is not set up properly, it will become dysfunctional and not produce what God intended for it to produce. Those who are called must secondly be commissioned or ordained before they can successfully go out to execute the kingdom of God mandate. You never want to go out in ministry without the blessing of the man of God on your life. And basically, I already talked about it, how John the Baptist baptized Jesus to establish divine order of the kingdom. This allowed the Holy Spirit to fall upon Jesus without measure. And because order was followed, God was well pleased. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." If you want God to be well pleased with you, make sure you follow the right protocol, the call, the commission, being sent out properly. And in that process, there's a time of just sitting and growing and being groomed and being nurtured. Sometimes there's rebukes that's involved. A lot of times there could be rebukes that's involved. But, you know, just like a natural son, my natural son is living in Tampa, Florida right now. He's working for an advertisement agency, doing well. I know he's going to be successful. He's already successful. But I had no reservations about letting him go into another state right after he graduated from college, because I knew that through the nurturing process, he followed the proper steps and things his mother and I laid out for him to do in order for him to be successful. We tried to give him the proper training, the proper spiritual nutrition he needed, and a sense of right and wrong and equity and all the things that he needed to be successful. So why would a minister or a man of God not groom those that's under him so that their rate or their chance of success can be exponential? It wouldn't make sense to be called, have an ordination, but not have a sitting period, not have a grooming period, not have a developmental period. Because there's things in ministry that even though you might be able to minister, but you hadn't experienced before. You know, there's training, there's times with the Lord where you have to really learn. You know, one of the things the apostle would say, I don't mind you going, stepping out, but I don't want you to step out by yourself. You know, I'm with you in spirit. I want to be able to be able to put my hand on you, you know, to correct you and to keep track of what you're doing. You know, because one of the things I recognize is that you represent God. You represent the kingdom of God. You represent God's anointed. Doing this class as an instructor here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center, I recognize I'm held to a particular standard. I stand here right now in fear and trembling. Am I scared? No, but I know what's expected of me. I know what I've been taught, and I know what I need to do. And I know I need to stick with my subject matter. I know I need to instruct students in honor and how to reap the rewards of honor through scripture, through experiences, through what's in the book, you know, so that when they go out, they'll know how to sow proper seeds of honor. A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you how I sowed into a mighty man of God, you know, and it's, you know, I didn't mention his name then, but it was Evangelist Jimmy Swaggart. I just happened to be at a restaurant with him. You know, I knew I needed to sow because of the anointing that was on his life and is on his life and his ministry and all the millions of people that probably got saved and delivered and set free through his ministry. God put anointed Saul in front of me that close where he reached out and shook my hand, and I would not sow. As you remember, after I said that, I fell in tears. I'm almost crying now again because the anointing rises up in me because I know that's what I've been taught. I've seen my man of God do it. You know, I've learned from example, and I want you to learn from not only example but from what's in the word, but also from example, because believe me, it makes a difference. It makes a difference in ministry. It makes a difference in the anointing that comes upon your life. So when you're out ministering, you're setting captives free. You're setting people free, you know, because it's not about you, but it's about you fulfilling the will of God for your life, you know. And in order to do that, you have to properly be commissioned by God in order to get that assignment done. All right. And I'm skipping all over the place, you know, but when the anointing of God comes on you, you just step forward. The Apostle Paul raised up significant sons in the gospel that he honored and that honored him as a father and an apostle to the Gentile churches. Paul laid his hands on them, prophesied on them, and commissioned them so that they could become indispensable as ministry gifts where they were sent to. Those who were not sent out properly and who are now trying to send out others are basically laying empty hands on empty heads. Alexis, stop. I got 2 minutes left. I'm going to read that again. Those who weren't, if you weren't sent out properly, you know, and didn't sit under nobody, and now you're trying to send somebody out yourself, and you laying hands on them and you sending them out, you know, you have little to no anointing and no governmental structure behind you. You sending them out with no governmental structure. When I say government, I'm talking about apostolic governmental structure. And so their percentages of being successful is extremely low, if not zero, because it's got to be done. You know, what God is doing in these last days is getting his church, getting the body of Christ back to divine order, back to apostolic government. And by doing so, you sit, you listen, you learn, you're being called, you're being commissioned. And the last thing I want to share before we shut it down is that when a spiritual father, listen up, when a spiritual father commissions sons who are trained and developed ministers, their chance of success in ministry is huge because they have received the transfer of anointing from their spiritual father. Read it again and then we'll shut it down. When a spiritual father commissions ministry sons who have been properly trained and developed ministers, their chance of success in ministry is huge because they have received a transfer or a proper transfer of the anointing from their spiritual father. And with that said, we're going to shut it down, and we'll next class session we'll probably hit on the last five together. And knock out how to reap the rewards of honor before we move on. But be blessed, and we'll see you next week.